And just have some time together to unpack another character from Scripture. I know over the last weeks we've been doing that. And I was chatting to my husband this morning, Mark, and I just said, do you think men learn just as easily from the stories of women as women have learned from the stories of men for generations? And I just wonder whether that's a good question to ask you this morning. Because often at women's events and women's conferences, we talk about Esther, and I have never preached about Deborah, so today is a pretty exciting day. But we tend to just tuck all the women's stories for women's conferences, and then we hear all the men's stories in church. And I've never really thought about it much until this series, Mark. And I want to ask you to be responsive, men and women, to the lessons today, because we can all learn from each other. I think when we listen, we're encouraged, yep. When we learn, we are changed. But when we respond, we begin to impact our world. So Jess started the whole service today by asking you to respond and asking you to make a choice to step into worship. And I think every sermon you ever hear, you should have a response in your heart. Otherwise, what a waste of time. You could be home watching the telly. You could be gardening. If we're not going to be different and act differently, there's no point listening and just learning, but we need to respond. So this morning, that's my ask for you, is to have a responsiveness in your heart and just ask God right now, how will this impact me? What do you want me to do because of what I've heard? I think we all live with a purpose and an assignment over our life, more than being a husband, a wife, a daughter, a son, a mother, a father. They're all our position in life, but I actually deeply at my very core believe God has an assignment for us as well. He sometimes has many, but he will have something that you have been purposed to do before you were even born. Something to impact the lives of others and to build his kingdom as it is in heaven here on earth. And I want to look this morning at what kind of impact you're meant to have. I want to challenge you. What's the assignment that's in your hands? It could be your work. It could be your career. It could be a calling that you need to be doing this week. It could be a change. It could be a life circumstance. I don't know what it is, but I truly believe that God calls us sometimes for many years, sometimes many times for single years, to do the work that he's asked us to do. And I want to take a look at a woman today who ended up doing something I don't know that she thought she would do. You know when you say yes, and then a year later you're like, how did I get here? Because you thought it would go that way, then all of a sudden you're here and go, for me, that's probably the story of most of my life. I just say yes and I find myself in strange and wonderful places. Well, Deborah was the same, and I'll tell you why in a minute. She was a pretty amazing person. She was an example of someone who lived with a yes in her heart to God, ready for the next assignment. She's somebody who is an example of wisdom, of courage. She was a leader that was countercultural to her culture. At that time in the children of Israel, they didn't have women who led them very often. Yet, she just stood in all of her calling, in the assignment of God, and she did it. Not because mankind told her she couldn't, but because God told her she had to. I want to set the scene. So in those times, the children of Israel were living in this cyclic behavior. Donald kind of alluded to it. Thank you. I was so nervous you were going to preach my sermon. I'm like, because he often hears from God and just says it straight out. But you know, he talked about the place those children of Israel are in. They'd often go through hard times and oppression. They'd call out to God. God would hear them. He would send them a deliverer, which was often the judges and their leaders. They would then be delivered and life would be great, and they'd just walk away from God. They'd start worshiping idols, start worshiping themselves. Life would be complacent, and they'd walk away from listening to the voice of God. An enemy would come. They would be oppressed. They would be distressed, and what would they do? They'd call to God, who would send them a deliverer, often a judge and a leader, who would deliver them. Life would be good, and it just kept going and going and going. And we find them in such a time as this. And Deborah steps in as one of those judges. Now, I want to show you her office. This is where she worked every single day. Let's have a look at the screen. She sat under a palm tree, it says, between the two hills of Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. I would like that office. My office is the same office at home on Zoom meetings all the time, but she sat under a palm tree. And I just paused there and I thought I could do a palm tree, a swimming pool, a little drink with a little umbrella in it. And I would just sit there, and as Deborah had, all the Israelites would just come to her and ask for her wisdom. And I had this beautiful moment imagining my family just coming to me and asking me for wisdom as I sat under a palm tree by the pool with a little drink in my hand. That's not my reality, but that was hers. From that palm tree, she looked out over this other scene, which is a scene of the valley of Ephraim. And she could see on those dry hills, this is where her people lived. And I can imagine her casting her gaze. As the people would come to her, she would listen to God, she'd get the answer for them, and she'd answer their questions. But as she looked below to the valley, there was oppression that had been happening for many, many years. There was an enemy down there. Her people were travelers and caravanners, and they would try to go on these roads and these routes that they would be attacked by their enemies. There was no peace, there was chaos, there was unrest, and this was the season in which Deborah was told to lead. Deborah had three different hats. First of all, she was a judge. You know, the judges were set up in Exodus 18. When Moses had the children of Israel, he led them out of captivity. And you will read in Exodus 18 that they had so many questions and so many problems that he would spend almost 20 hours a day answering all their problems. And so God gave him a new idea, and he said, set up, and they called them Mishpat, which is a judge of just the lesser things. And he said, Moses, you take care of the high-level leadership decisions, but we're going to set up judges that people can come and ask advice from. And we find Deborah is one such judge. She was also a prophet. So she heard directly from God. God would speak to her and give her wisdom, give her the answers, and she was one that was then able to speak the very words of God herself to the people. I reflected on this and I thought, you know, the first few years of leadership, as when I was in my 20s, I'd learned lots of stuff. I was a teacher. I'd been in church all my life. There was so much I could do on my own. It's not hard to work out problems in just a very average, everyday setting. But, you know, I got to my early 30s and I thought, I'd come to the end of myself, which is not hard to do when you are the source of your own strength. You come to the end of yourself quite quickly. I remember this one particular night, praying on my knees to God, just wondering what it would be like to be filled with His Spirit and to lead out of that, rather than just being clever, rather than just being having worldly wisdom. You know, we're all trained. I had tertiary education. I knew how to do what I had to do. But it's more than that. And you know, that night God met me in a really real way, and it started to transform me. I'm still in the transformation process 20 years later. But it started to change the way I thought. So it wasn't the initial just my thoughts and my decisions and my answers, but allowing the Spirit of God to flow through and His thoughts and His answers. And that's what Deborah did. She was a prophetess. And thirdly, she was a warrior. And this is the part I want to kind of stick with today. I love this story. I love the warrior strength of stories where we see people just step into great spaces. My theory is they don't feel great necessarily inside, because most of us don't either. Yet there's something that makes them step out into greatness. And Deborah had a battle on her hands, and she was about to be used in a mighty way. Sisera was the commander of that enemy army down in the valley, the one I told you about. He'd been commanding 900 iron chariots, we read in the book of Judges 4. And he had 20 years of oppression of these people. He would have thought he was pretty good, pretty strong, pretty powerful. Anytime some of the Israelites would try to travel through on the main roads, they would attack them and beat them, and he had control of the whole area. Oppressed, in pain, in chaos, not thriving, trapped, what do you think the Israelites did? They did what they always did. They cried out to God, and God gave them a plan. He sent the deliverer, Deborah, and he gives her a plan. So she calls the captain of the army, Barak, and she tells him the plan that God gives. Let me read it to you. Listen to the words. Oh, I think that's the next one. We'll just hold that for later. Listen to the words of the eternal God of Israel. Bring 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor. God says, she's telling Barak, he will call out Sisera, the commander of the enemy army, along with his 900 chariots and all his warriors, to the Kishon River. There he'll give you victory over them. This was the plan. She called the commander in. I've heard from God. You do this and we'll have victory. Now, what would you think Barak would do? He should have said, great, if God said it, I believe it and I'll do it. He didn't. He'd been operating out of fear for 20 years. That was his mode of operation. And he stayed in that space and he looks at Deborah and he says these words, and you can pop them on the screen, from Judges 4 and verse 8. If you go with me, I'll go. If not, I'm not going up there. I'm not going down there. You know, in that moment, Deborah could have said, listen here, buddy, this is your assignment. God's told you to go. He's made it really clear. This is his word and his answer to the problem. When Barak said, I'm not going unless you go with me, I don't know whether he thought she was a good luck charm, whether he was just a frat. I have no idea what it was. We're not told. But we are told that Deborah turns to him and said, well, I'll come with you. But if I do, you'll get no glory for this. The glory is going to go to a woman who will save the Israelites. Now, we'll find out later it wasn't actually to be her. But can you imagine to Barak, she goes, I'll go with you if I have to, but you're going to get no glory for the victory. And then they set out. And I like to imagine Deborah on a white horse. I think she has the white horse, yeah? So she's got this shiny armor and maybe really long hair and the horse's tail is flowing and she's out the front. And then you got Barak on the black horse. It's a lot smaller than Deborah's horse and his armor's kind of like messy and mucky and he's kind of slinking along behind. Well, that's my Hollywood version that happens in my head. But we see Deborah and Barak go into battle. And then you can put this scripture on the screen from Judges 4. This is what happened. When Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and warriors into a panic. Sisera leapt down from his chariot and he ran away. He escaped on foot. Then Barak chased the chariots and the enemy army all the way to that place, killing all of Sisera's warriors. Not a one of them was left alive. So Sisera, the captain of the almighty army that had been killing people as they traveled on the roads for 20 years, he just got off and ran for his life. This is where the story gets interesting. I'm sorry, it goes from G-rated to probably M-rating. Sisera ran away, and we find that he takes refuge in the tent of a clansman that he thought was his ally. In fact, he was so secure in this tent that it says he ate, he drank, and he went to sleep. Bad idea. Because the clansman's wife, the hero about to step in, her name's Jael, while Sisera is sleeping, cover the children's ears, takes a tent peg and a mallet and hammers the peg straight through Sisera's head. I know, it's awful. That's the part where you're watching the movie and you just kind of quickly go on some game and play it because you can't stand to watch what's happening. You know, I told you it was an epic story. God used a most unsuspecting woman, the wife of a clan's leader, who had nothing to do with the battle, yet she was in the final moment of victory, as God had planned all along. So Deborah writes a song, and Judges 5 tells the story. It's the narrative of this song. But at the end of it, I love the last verse. It's not going to be on the screen. It says, Lord, may all your enemies die like Sisera. Slightly mean-hearted of her, I think. But may those of us who love you rise like the sun in all its power. It's like, get them, God, and bless us, was the end of her song. But then at the very last verse of Judges 5, it says these words. Then there was peace in the land for 40 years. And my mind went to, that was twice as long as what they were oppressed for. 20 years in chaos and captivity, God delivers them through Deborah, the warrior, judge, prophet, and they have double the time in peace. God made her to be someone who would make a difference. I want to read what I just wrote here. She stood with courage in a time when others ran away in fear. She stood for godly wisdom in a time when others relied on human rationalization. She stood for decency in a time of utter chaos. She stood for holiness and godliness in a time of sexual perversity and idolatry. She was a leader who was an exception to the rule, yet stood when God told her to stand. So what do we learn from her? How do we respond to this story? Well, firstly, we need to be obedient. When God says go, go. It's just that simple. When God tells you what to do, respond with a yes. I don't want to be on the black horse riding behind the leader who said yes. I want to be on the white horse out the front. I want to be living with a yes in my heart. Well, I'm too tired. That's okay. You can sleep tomorrow. I'm a woman. That's okay. God uses men and women. I'm this, I'm that. What if we stop making excuses and we just say yes and we be obedient? It'll cost you. It costs to follow God and live a life of obedience, but there's no other place I'd rather be. Secondly, we need to be courageous. It took some courage, hey? When everyone else is running in fear and for 20 years when you've seen the oppression of this enemy, with one word from God who says, do this and you'll be free, I don't know. I think I might be a little like Barak and go, sounds like a good plan. Will you come with me? Will you hold my hand? If you don't go, I don't think I can go. What if we weren't that? What if we were the Deborahs and we're like, I'm doing it. Aren't you afraid? Yep, but I'm doing it. That's what courage is. It's not the absence of fear. It's stepping out when fear is present anyway. I love that David encouraged his son Solomon when he said these words to him in 1 Chronicles, be strong and courageous and do the work. It's kind of a parent to a child. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Well, not because you're clever, not because you've got a university degree, not because you've trained and you have all the gifts you need. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Sometimes it's the only qualification you need. God is with you, so get going and step out in courage. Thirdly, I think we need to listen before speaking. She'd sit under her palm tree, her office, and people would come to her and she would listen to them, listen to God and give the wisdom. Sometimes we just talk too much and too quickly. We've got the answers ready before they've even stopped talking to us. You know, I'm going to invite the team to come on up. There was a couple of years ago, I was walking through the city and there was this young man sitting a little similar to this guy here. It's not the same person. Sitting in the steps and I was on my way to a meeting. I'd parked my car. I had to pay for the parking and I had to get to the meeting and I was possibly a minute or two late already. And as I walked past this young man sitting in the steps, literally heard the Spirit of God say, sit down and talk to him. I'm like, I cannot sit down and talk to him. I'm way too busy. I've got to get to where I'm going. And it was a weird kind of thought. I'm like, oh, it's just me making that up. And so I just kept walking probably another 100 meters to the car park. And I remember getting to the car park and I was at the payment machine and I was about to put that ticket in the thing that takes about $500 to park for an hour, you know that one? And I was about to do it and I heard God say, go back and listen to him. I put the ticket in my handbag, walked all the way back because now I'm really late. Should have done it the first time. God had a better plan than me. But I walked back and I stood in front of this guy and just a teenager. He had something written on a sign and I just sat down on the steps next to him and I said, so what's your story? He was quite shocked and he looked at me and I said, clearly things are tough for you. And probably just for 5 minutes, It's not like we talked for 2 hours, but for 5 minutes he told me his story, which was quite heartbreaking. I'm like, are you hungry? Yes. I'm like, come on. So we went across the road, bought him a hamburger, went back, put the money in my car, and it cost me another $500 on top of the last $500. Got in the car, I'm like, what if I was just too quick to listen? I don't even know who that was. I don't even know the next part of his story. But I figure the greatest gift he needed that day was just to be heard. What if we listened more? First to God's prompting, and then listen to others, and finally, what if we stood? What if we stand firm? Never wavering. Even when the mockers come, stand firm. Even when it's not popular to do what God's asking us to do, stand firm. Even when it's inconvenient, stand firm. Even when we're afraid, stand firm. Knowing that we don't do it because we're strong, we do it because God is with us. So do the work. As we are faithful, we inspire faithfulness in others. I like to think of Deborah on that white horse and all the young women watching her going, I'm going to be like her one day. In fact, I wonder if some of them rode up alongside her and led the charge. That would be my version of the movie. Because when we are faithful, it inspires others to be faithful. When we hold our ground, we don't give up. It inspires others to come alongside and not give up. In all our feebleness and our weakness, if we would just follow Jesus all the days of our lives, it inspires others to do the same. I wonder if that's your assignment. I wonder in your families, in your workplaces, in your marriages, with your children, if God's not saying, stand firm. Because He is faithful and He will give you everything you need. I'm going to ask Jess just to sing this blessing. Why don't we all just close our eyes where we are? If you're at home, do the same thing. And I ask God for a word this morning for you. And after Jess has sung this, I'm going to pray that over every single one of you, which I believe is from the heart of God to you this morning, as a blessing and as a challenge and as an encouragement to stand in the space that Deborah did as well. Why don't you close your eyes and receive this?
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'll sing all the goodness of God.
I'd like us all just to, with our eyes closed, just stand where you are. Men, women, teenagers, children. I want you to imagine you're at the palm tree. And your heart is thirsty for a word from God today. And you've come to Him saying, would you speak words of life? Would you bring your sunshine into my world? And these were the words God is saying to you this morning. My son, my daughter, I want you to know I'm good. I'm always good. I've been here yesterday, I am here today, and I will be with you forever. My plans are good, my purposes for you are good, my love is good. And I have chosen you to carry my goodness and to impact your world. So just listen to me, hear my voice. You don't have to know every step or part of the plan. Just trust me, put your hand in mine, and together we will walk the journey ahead. You're going to have to summon all of the courage you have. You'll have to find strength you didn't know you had. You'll have to respond with a yes where in the past you just may not have done so. And then hold on tight. It's going to be an adventure. Perhaps not what you had planned, but definitely what I did. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you forever. So be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the instructions I give you in Scripture. Don't deviate from them, turning to the right or the left. Stay the course. Stay faithful. Stay with me. We will walk this journey together. We will see this world a better place because of who you are and me in you. You are called. You are capable. You are stronger than you think. With me, you have everything you need. I love you. You are called. You are mine. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.